Let's start again. You're listening to Rumour Jordan on I Heard a Rumour, and 3 o'clock is special guest time. And today my special guests are Nigel and Simon from AVC, Asociación de Vecinos en Campasol. And they have been working as a legal association on Campasol, helping residents. So first of all, we are going to have a little chat with Nigel. Nigel's not new to the show. He's been in a few times. And Nigel's going to tell us a little bit about himself and also a little bit about the association and what they're doing and what they have been doing. Over to you, Nigel.
Okay, thanks, Rumour. Yeah, you're right. I've been in before. I hadn't lived here so long then. My wife and I, Chris, have been living here about 6.5 years now, over on the dark side, on D sector. My background is I worked in law enforcement for 30 years. Unlike most of my clients, I didn't get parole. I had to serve my full time. I then created the Cybercrime Electronic Evidence Training Centre for the UK Police. And more latterly, I worked with the Council of Europe on some of their international programmes as well. So that's me, my background. AVC came about because several of us were working on another group that I'm sure you know of. It's called Campasol 2025. Mm-hmm. We had problems there because we weren't a legally registered association. We couldn't really engage with the town hall. What's apparent is if you want anything done in Mathron, you have to deal with the town hall. And so we were approached by a lady, a Spanish lady, one of our neighbours, who explained to us the system of neighbourhood associations throughout Spain. Anyway, as a result, we thought it was a good idea. So we created the association almost a year ago this week, actually.
That was with the help of this lady.
It was, absolutely. So, and without her help, we would not be where we are today, because she not only knows the Spanish system, she also knows how to access that system, which has not just been beneficial to us, but also for some of the people that we've been trying to help as well.
Sure.
So what did we do in that last year? Well, we decided at the outset that we wanted to be inclusive, and whereas most communications on Campasol are either in one language or another, primarily English, we decided that our main area for communication was going to be a website. So we created a website which is available in 5 languages, Spanish, English, French, German and Dutch, to try and encourage more participation in the things that we're doing from nationalities other than the English. I mean, the number of people moving on to Campasol from mainland Europe now is increased drastically. So we've done that, and we're finding our membership is increasing with non-Brits, with some of the Belgians, Germans and Dutch.
Because there are a multitude of nationalities on Campasol. What's the address of the website for anybody who's listening?
Okay, the address is simple. It's simply avc.org.es.
Perfect.
And you can go there on that site. You've got a little bit of background about ourselves, some of the things that we've been doing. Importantly, we have a latest news page, and that's where we put information about those things that we're currently dealing with. So, and we're going to talk a little while about the biogas plant and the campaign against that. But we've also got information about other projects that we've been working on as well. So our initial thing was to get somewhere to live. And so being a legal association, we were able to approach the council, and they've given us access to their office within the social centre on Sector B on Campasol for 2 days a week. So anybody who wants to come and see us can come and see us between 10 and 1 on Wednesday and Friday of each week. And we're back again this week after the August break. We took the Spanish August holiday this year. So we found our home. One of the things that we were concerned about is Campasol, unfortunately, has got a reputation for having lots of well-off people living there. Well, not everybody. Well, not everybody is well-off in Campasol, as we've discovered. And so we've been trying to provide some help and support for people in accessing the benefit system, the social services system.
Well, that's really important, because there are a lot of people who live here, Brits and other nationalities, who don't realise that they can access so many services, and because they can't speak the language. So that is something really important that you guys are doing.
Yeah, and also, this is where our vice president comes into her own, because you know, she can make one call to the benefits office, whereas we would probably have to make three appointments, write five letters, you know, and then make a telephone call. She's able to assist, and she knows her way around the system. She's worked, she's worked with politicians and town halls for many, many years. So she certainly knows her way around the system anyway. So that was sort of one of the key things. And we still like to do that where we can. More recently, we became involved in the green waste issue.
Now I know there's a lot of controversy going on with the green waste. Tell us what kicked it off in the beginning.
The town hall hadn't collected green waste for something over 2 years from Camposol.
Wow.
And so there were five different areas, two on D, one on C, one on B, and one on A, the largest one on A, where green waste was just dumped. Unfortunately, it became mixed with other things that were dumped as well, concrete, builder's rubble, and everything else. So back in early March, we went out one Sunday morning with somebody who had a drone, and we went to each of the sites and we took video and footage of each of these sites, and they are huge. They really were. Mm-hmm. So with that information, we put a report together for the town hall, and I have to say this, the only way to deal with the town hall is to approach them and ask them to do things. You can shout and scream as much as you like that they haven't done it, but if you want something fixed, you have to go to the town hall. So we put a report together, we met with the councillors, and I have to say that the sort of when we showed the video, of there was a bit of shock on their faces at the extent of this problem. So we then put together a set of proposals to try and deal with this. And we met with other councillors, so we had lots of meetings at the town hall, and they agreed that they would invoke these suggestions that we put in as an agreement. Now, they've done some of it. They've cleared the car park area on Sector B. They've opened up the area next to the hotel on Sector C for waste. We had two fires recently, so they didn't have to move as much waste as possible, and they've started removing the waste on A. Now, the problem is that when they set out, they said that the area on Sector C would have somebody from the town hall there every Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday between 9:30 in the morning and 12 at lunchtime. That never happened. That green waste area has been open for the whole of the summer until Saturday. And it appears that's what happened is the councillor for services has taken it upon himself unilaterally to go and put a padlock on the gate. So the problem now is, of course, we're left with nowhere to take the green waste. And one thing that we would please implore people is please do not go back to putting your waste in the old areas. Mm. We are in touch with the council. We are trying to get this resolved.
Sure.
But the worst thing that could happen is if we start to see green waste areas build up where they were before.
And you haven't had any explanation yet as to why they've shut this down?
None at all.
And also another thing that sort of suddenly came into my mind is that there are always... To me, it seems like photo opportunities where people from the council come along, they take photos, they talk about what they'd like to do for Camposol, how they're going to invest money. Far be it for me to say, but how much of this has actually happened over the past few years until you actually got involved and became a legal association?
Well, I mean, you know, you've raised a whole lot of issues there. One of the key things, of course, is the town hall announced well over about 18 months ago now that they were going to take over as the developer of Camposol. One of the things that we did in the first instance when we became an association, we approached them and said, look, you're issuing all these notification letters. Is there something we can do to help move this process along so that your plans for Camposol can come to fruition earlier, as early as possible? And so we did. For many, many weeks and months, actually, we helped issue notification letters along with the good folks up at CompuSurf who were doing the same thing for other parts of the urbanisation. We were issuing the notification letters until it got to the stage the council then decided a few months ago now that they felt that they had enough notifications delivered that they could justify any complaint there may be that they hadn't right. done that with due diligence. Mm. And that was several months ago. We were expecting that the BORM would be issued, notifying us that they would take over the development of Campasol. To date, it's not happened. And that's another one of the things that we have on our list to talk to the Town Hall about. Of course, today's September the 1st.
Yeah.
And as you know as well as I do, August is not a good Absolutely. Month for trying to get anything done.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing, I mean, you know, I said at the beginning, I've only lived here 6 years. A lot of people have had these same promises for many, many years, many more years than I've been here. So I'm still a new kid on the block, as it were. And I've not yet lost my enthusiasm to try and help to get some things done.
As of now, your association has been helping people access services that they might not have known about, that they were entitled to. You have sorted out the green waste as the best of your ability, but you've had a little bit of a setback because of something that's been completely taken out of your hands. And also the taking over by the council, that's an ongoing thing that you've put the wheels in motion there.
Well, we've helped the council. Yeah, the council had to go through a legal process to notify the owners. We offered to help them achieve that. Initially, they had one guy working there a couple of days a week who was going knocking on doors. And if people weren't in, he was having to go back two or three times.
But that also, that creates a bit of suspicion as well when you've got somebody just coming around and knocking on the door. You know, people are very wary. So is there anything that maybe the council can put out an official notice so that people know that this is going to be happening, someone is going to come round and knock on the doors and talk to them?
Well, they did at the very beginning. But as I say, that was then both the good folks at CompuServe and ourselves offered to try and help move this process on. So that part of that process is over and done with. Now, we're just waiting for the town hall or for the notification, the official notification that the town hall will take over the development of Campasol.
Okay, good. So one of the other areas that has had a lot of publicity at the moment, is talked about quite extensively, is the biogas plant. Now, I believe, Simon, you're going to talk about that for us. So if you wouldn't mind passing the mic to Simon. So welcome to the show, Simon. Just tell us a little bit about yourself first, and then we can move on to the biogas plant.
Hi, Aruma. Thanks for having us on. I'm Simon. I've lived in Spain on Campasol as a resident for 3.5 years with my wife. We live on the same sector D as Nigel. I only joined the AVC 2 weeks ago when I found out about this biogas plant. I'm 55 and I retired at 52. I'm an entrepreneur of two successful businesses, but my main job was a mechanical design engineer and a senior piping designer. I spent 15 years on an oil refinery and previous 10 to 15 years in the water and wastewater industries.
Right,
I've designed biodigesters. I've installed them in plants. We renovated every single wastewater treatment plant in Wales and some in England. So.
Wow. Okay, so you really know what... Because a lot of people, there's so much speculation at the moment. People talking about smells, talking about it affecting the environment. Yep. But nobody, unless you are an expert as yourself, no one really understands. So it's really good to have someone like yourself in here. So, sorry, continue on.
Absolutely, no problem at all. Regards to the smell, we'll hit the big one first.
Okay.
The plans that I've seen, and I'm a specialist in plot plans, which is a plan view of the proposed site and the location of all the equipment that's going to feature. Right. Modern European standards dictate there should be no smell. So that's no open pits, tanks, lagoons, giving off odours. The plans I've seen, as long as it's built to the plan, all the processes will be done inside vacuum-sealed large buildings.
Okay.
So covered lorries will enter the site, go straight into a building, door will come up, go down. All the areas continuously sucked out and carbon filtered. Okay. So there should be no odour whatsoever from the entire process. 99% of the time. Got acts of God or a not-so-conscious driver may run into the door, leave it open. You may get some smell during an accident or something that shouldn't happen. But generally, the containment should be zero contaminant to the environment. So the people spreading rumour about old plants, quite justified.
Yeah.
In the past, there were open pits and lagoons. But we've got those now on every single pig farm in the Merthyr area.
But it still smells.
They do.
Yeah.
We cycle past them, lots of them, on the Via Verde, and they're open and they stink. I'm used to bad smells. I've worked on refineries and wastewater treatment plants, and believe me, it takes your breath away. But by the time we've finished installing odour control systems, thickeners and digesters, there's no smell at all.
Okay. And so, this is what's showing in their plans?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of biodigester plants.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the engineering, the principle and the process.
And in theory, it's environmentally good.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's happening. What it does, it'll take away agricultural waste, like pig slurry, for one. Use crops for two. Instead of burning them in the fields or spraying the slurry on the fields, which you'll get a bad smell or bad smoke from, it'll take all that waste into a sealed unit and produce clean biogas to feed into the LNG system. It'll also produce high-quality, non-smelly fertiliser. Now, once this fertiliser comes out as liquid or as a dry fertiliser in pellet form or mulch, all the bacteria is dead. Now, the bacteria are what gives off the gas. And as they give off the gas, that's what smells. So as we capture the gas in the biodigester as a biomass, we add water into it and it breaks down over time. Then we drain the water off and that can be reused in the next digester or sold as liquid fertilisers. Because it's full of nourishment but no smell.
Right. All sounds good.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
They take the bio product from the digester and dry it with screens and centrifuges and produce a dry mulch. You can pick it up in your hand. It's relatively clean, doesn't smell.
Sure.
So then they can pelletise that and they sell that fertiliser on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good for the environment. Even after rewatering on the farm, you still will get less odour. So I'm not saying 100%. If you're standing there in the field while they're spraying, you might get a little bit. But the general population will be free of the smell. So I hope that's relieved certain people's anxiety and frustration that this thing's going to smell. I can't guarantee 100%. Nobody can because of earthquakes, acts of God, lightning strikes, etc. Accidents just driving a lorry. But the majority should not have any smell. Now, most of these products will normally go to landfill.
Yeah.
We have a large landfill site just up the road. Anything we can do to stop them filling landfill and giving off gases uncontrollably into the environment is a better thing for the environment and all that live around here. But I do have some grave concerns regarding the location of this plant.
I was going to ask you what... I mean, this Spain is vast and there are vast areas of... uninhabited land in Spain.
Yep.
This, to me, is between two residential, big residential areas, as well as little villages.
Absolutely.
Do we know why they've chosen here?
I think there's a couple of reasons. Access from the motorway, for one.
Okay.
Access to potable water. Our main potable water supply runs right next to the motorway, the RM3, on the side of the biogas proposed site. I believe they're going to be drawing a copious amounts of water from...
Will that not affect households?
Absolutely.
Because at the moment, I mean, I live down in Bonnuevo and we have issues with water pressure all the time.
Absolutely. Camposol suffers from water pressure badly at times.
So can they guarantee that that won't...
Yeah, the pipeline itself, I believe somebody could fact check me, but it's 33,000 cubic litres a second. So 1,200 cubic feet per second. So that's a lot of water through a 30-inch pipe.
Yeah.
It's a big pipe. But as soon as they open the taps to fill digester tanks, it's going to considerably take a large volume of water. Whether they do that in the middle of the night, most people are asleep and they won't notice the drop in the water pressure.
Right, okay.
Yeah, this plant is going to be running 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's going to cause pollution. Not maybe in the form of gases.
No.
But in the form of light pollution, of noise pollution.
Right.
This thing has been proposed to be on top of a great big hill. Yeah. You're going to see it for miles and miles around across the valley, and especially from residents on Camposol, because we'll be the closest to it. Now, where does it used to be dark skies at night, you're going to have floodlights all the time. It looked like some kind of prisoner of war camp or, you know, football field.
Aesthetically, it's not,
there's no shielding or screening being proposed as far as I can see on the plans. The noise from reversing front loaders or lorries, beep, 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 going all night long.
Sure.
They've anticipated up to 70 extra lorries on the highways. This will cause a lot of pollution, noise pollution, and obviously fumes, environmental pollution. Plus, the infrastructure, although it's two lanes most of the highway, it's still, by increasing these HGV lorries, it's going to have a massive impact on the condition of the roads, for a start, let alone people trying to go about their daily business.
Sure.
All night long, all day, all night, lorries coming and going, coming and going.
There was something else about the fact that the site is designated as arable farming.
Absolutely, that is so a big concern, Rumour.
Yeah, tell me, because I don't understand, like, if a site is for arable and they use it for industrial, what is the difference? What does it mean?
Agricultural land is designed for exactly that, for farming.
Yeah.
To put a heavy industrial complex on agricultural land would have to go through the planning department first to change their boundaries from industrial to commercial or habitational. Mm-hmm. So that comes down to the local planning
office. That have been about.
I haven't the data to say
Okay.
At the moment, I believe they're in the process of getting approved by Matheron County Council Planning Department. This is what we need to try and stop.
Sure.
I'm a massive fan of biodigesters, and I'm not against it being built. Mm. I'm against it being built where they've proposed it. It's interfering with wild species of birds, a wild kestrel and a wild buzzard. That's a rehabilitation habitat where they're proposing to build it. So when I heard the radio interview with the Lambert representative at the beginning of August, and she said surveys had been done, it would not affect flora or animals in that area.
Right, okay.
I think we need to do a little more research into why she came up with that conclusion, because evidence we found, a report done in July earlier this year, says these birds are there and it's a section of their rehabilitation in the area. So there's one big
concern. It might be interesting to see when their survey was conducted and who did
it. Absolutely, yeah.
That might be interesting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my very grave concerns, if this installation is passed and is constructed and operated, within 6 to 12 months, you'll start to see other industrial complexes built up around it, either to service it or as new businesses, because they want to turn that agricultural land into an industrial polygonal, just like the one at La Hama and Amuthia.
Right.
There's got to be other locations where this plant will fit in. I've already identified two. In the confidential report I've completed for the AVC, it's at an initial stage, so it's open to review. And once the committee has completed that, then the full report will then be a basis of our foundation of knowledge. It's not open to everybody to review and inspect. It's just for the AVC at the moment, taking it forward. I've highlighted two locations that would fit perfectly.
Right.
There may be issues with one of them, because it is in another over-the-county line. But one or two of them, because I've highlighted, I haven't reported on, are within the Matheron County.
Okay. And does it matter that it...
It can be anywhere.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to say. It's not pertinent that it has to be in Matheron. It can be anywhere.
It could be in the middle of Spain, in the donut of Spain, where nobody lives.
Yes.
And then they could pipe everything to or from.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be... There's great roads in the middle of Spain. I've driven.
Do we know who owns the land that they're...
we need further investigation.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I've only been on this for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And this is information we've investigated, data researching, a lot of it coming from online. And you know what it's like online. You get a lot of false information.
Absolutely.
So you have to be factual. Yeah. It has to be correct before you broadcast anything.
Okay. As I understand it, I've done some reading, is that there is a deadline, is there, for...
It's not far away.
Yeah.
I think they want to get this passed within 6 months. Is that right, Nigel?
Aspirationally, they've said they want it complete. They want to get their permission in 6 months, and they want to have it or certainly start or be building within 18 months.
Okay,
I mean, if I can just sort of touch on some other non-technical things in relation to this. This has been a bit of a whirlwind for the last 8 weeks or so. The BORM, the official notification, was only issued on the 5th of July. And, of course, many people, including me, were away on holiday for quite a considerable period of that time. So we've been up against the fact that a lot of people were away, the fact that it's August. August in Spain, as we've said before, is not a good time to do things.
So if it's not a good time to do things, then they wouldn't have been able to progress it anyway.
Well, they've already got their application is in. Now, we had a deadline last month, 14th of August, to submit... what they call here allegation documents. We would tend to call them objections in the UK.
Right.
And within 1 week, we managed to get 459 of those signed by people, not just on Campsol, but around. And they were submitted on time. So the region of Mercia have now got 459 objections just from our area.
Right.
But it's important to say that this whole thing is not just a Campsol issue. It's not a British issue, because our Spanish neighbours are as annoyed about this as we are. We're actually working with a number of the local neighbourhood associations.
Brilliant.
In Cañada and Pania and other places to try and bring together, because... we don't want this campaign to be seen as just Brits complaining.
Absolutely. And you don't want it to be, as you rightly say, the fact that people will just think it's Campsol that's affected. It is a wide, wide area. Now, you know, obviously I'm very neutral in this, but it's important for you to get all of the information out for people who are listening in, because there could be a lot of people who don't understand. There could be people who are against it, but conversely, who are for it as well. So everybody needs to know the facts.
Well, today, if I can mention, we just put an update on our website, because, as you rightly say, there's a lot of misinformation that's put out there. So what we try to do with our updates is provide factual information. We can't provide all the information at once, because, as you know, there's still work to be done.
Yeah.
We're building up a sort of a message in relation to this. It isn't just about the technical side. It's also about the economic impact on this as well. We already, you may well already have seen, the PSOE party have already come out and declared that they're totally against this going ahead. We met with them a couple of weeks ago, and they confirmed that's the case. We haven't heard from the other political parties. We have, for the last 4 weeks, been trying to arrange a meeting with the mayor, because ultimately it's the mayor who makes the final decision as to whether this finally goes ahead. So we've been trying to get a meeting with him, because we need to understand not only where he stands, where his party, UIDM, stands. Mm-hmm. We've also requested meetings with the other political parties as well, PP party, and also some of the regional politicians as well.
That's really good. It's like you have got your finger on the pulse. The wheels are in motion at the moment, just to get people talking to you about this. And I think that's the most important thing at this stage, is to, it's got to be open transparency out there, so that you know what you're dealing with when you're reporting back to the people within your association and the wider audience as well.
And making sure that we keep in touch with our Spanish neighbours as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And working with them.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already communicating with a number of the Spanish associations here in the town and the port to try and encourage them to support this campaign.
Sure.
Because it'll affect everybody. I mean, you come along the motorway in the future, the first thing you're going to see as you drive on the left-hand side is this huge, great complex out there. Now, as Simon said, you know, it's these things are good if they're done properly and they're in the right location.
Mm.
And this really isn't a not in my backyard campaign. Mm. There are serious concerns that Simon's highlighted. There are other concerns about it as well, not just from us, but from our Spanish neighbours and the Spanish associations.
Okay.
So that's important.
Okay. Simon, have you got more to tell us?
What is the Mathron residents? What are the Mathron residents going to benefit from this biogas plant?
Right, all the
gas produced is being directly, it's going to be liquefied on site with compressors and injected directly into the Lorca to Cartagena LNG pipeline. It runs halfway between Sector A and the proposed location. So we're not going to see any of the gas produced. Hopefully, are the farmers of the surrounding area. They're going to give them the sludge, their pig slurry, to process into gas. Are they going to receive free or heavily discounted fertiliser to spread on their fields? We don't know. What concerns me, we're the ones, the whole of Mathron, have to put up with this site, this plant if produced, you know, erected and operated. And what benefits do we get from that? It's not like they're going to offer free gas or cheap electricity to all the residents of Mathron. The gas is going to go up line to Madrid, to Barcelona, up to North Spain in the cooler areas. They've just completed an unloading ship jetty at Cartagena to take LNG gas onto a ship. They say it's for storage. But why aren't they using online tanks for that? They can sail a ship to England. They could sail it to France. They could sail it to North Africa. They could sail this and sell this gas globally on the open market. But residents of Mathron have to put up with this beautiful big engineering project on their doorstep.
Right. Are the benefits?
What are the benefits?
Absolutely. That's a really, really important question.
Thank you.
So, and I guess that's one of the questions that you're putting forward in your report.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at the stage now where you've put together this really comprehensive report based on all of your knowledge and experience. Has this gone into the Mathron Town Hall yet?
Not yet. It's at the 0.1 revision stage. So the committee members will review it, make comments, will clarify and cross-check data, make sure everything's spot on.
Now, the most important aspect of this now is how people can get in touch with you. So I've got your website here, which is www.avc.org.es. So people can, and they can also contact by email, and that's admin@avc.org.es. And there's also a phone number, 625-867-013. So you are also looking for people who could join the association who can help you as well, as well as people registering to just get information from the website.
Okay, I mean, I think the important thing, Rumour, is that we're new. We've only been in existence for just about a year.
Yeah.
We've got a considerable, quite a large number of people who've joined as members of the association. We'd like to encourage more people to join as members. It's free. We don't charge an annual fee. But what it does, it allows you, obviously, to come to the AGM and have your say in what you would like us to do in following years. But importantly, it gives us a bigger core of people for us to go on this campaign.
Sure.
And we can talk about a large number of members, a large number of people supporting. And you can do that by visiting the website, by coming and visiting us on a Monday or a Wednesday between 10 and 1 at the Town Hall. We do realise that not everybody is technically competent, so we've got paper and pens as well.
And you're also at Consume, that was another...
Well, tomorrow, one of the things that we're doing. We've not done fundraising in the past. We've not needed to. Running an association is not so expensive. Mm-hmm. However, for a campaign such as this, where we're going to be looking at undertaking a whole series of activities and events, we're likely, I'm looking behind you, you've got a lovely sign behind you, we'll be looking at posters, leaflets, banners, and all sorts of things in the future. Mm-hmm. And although we can give our time, we can't continue to fund very high expenditure things. So the first thing that's happening is tomorrow morning, between 9 and 11, some of our volunteers will be in the area outside of Consum, collecting from anybody who'd like to donate, whichever amount you'd like to, so that we're able to start the work on developing our campaign, developing the products that we need in order to support it. We've been asked about online donations, especially for those people who aren't here. All I can say is there will shortly be online donations. We have a couple of bureaucracy issues that we're currently dealing with the bank, and we're hoping to resolve them tomorrow. So there will be other ways in which people can support this campaign. But it is important. Everything is properly accounted for. In relation to your data, we are compliant with the data protection legislation. We have a data controller who has undergone all the training that's necessary, so you needn't be worried about your data when it's there.
Perfect.
So that's where we are with it at the moment.
Right.
We would say this is the beginning, not the end. And
absolutely. There's everything to be optimistic about here. I want to say thank you to both of you for coming in. And I would invite you back in again in maybe the next 3 or 4 months when you know where you are with not just the biogas plant, because that's just one of the issues that you're looking at, but with everything that your association is trying to do. So thank you very much for coming in, and I apologise to our listeners for the little glitch at the beginning of the interview, but we did get our full quota plus a little bit extra. So thank you, Nigel and Simon. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks, Ruma.